Hello, everybody, and welcome to a podcast from 2003. Paul, I shall begin the reading now.
What?
15th of January.
What? It's not 15th of January, it's the 23rd of April.
Yes.
God, what are you doing, Cecil?
I just wanted to see how quickly I could get you into doing this.
Oh.
I want to see how quick we can record a podcast, Paul.
I'm not in any rush, Cecil. Nowhere else to be. Just dumb to the microphone now.
I've done anything to it.
Idiot, man.
Moving it. Stupid. Right, well, ladies and gentlemen, you remember last week. I forgot what happened last week, Paul.
I had an encounter with a woman in Asda, in Wolverhampton. With a printer, I got the wrong... Couldn't find the ink information on it, so I had to run out frightened and embarrassed. And that's about the highlight of my week last week, which is not very good, is it? But then Mum invited me to go round to her house for tea this week, which is what I'm going to do now in this diary reading. If you want to hear that, Cecil, let me read it to you.
Yes, I do.
Good. Well, then just say the date and let's just kick off then. Now, Cecil.
Now, 22nd of April, 2003.
I finally moved that bloody box from the toilet. It was driving me crazy. It was only there as a makeshift magazine rack, but I've got so sick of reading Weetabix 12 by 12 boxes. Fragile, stack no higher than 5. I wonder how many times I've read that going to the toilet so much. About 843, I bet. Because, you know, I couldn't afford to keep magazines in the box because they get so damp, what with the shower being in the toilet too. It goes all like wobbly, don't it? A damp book, you can't read it, all gets stuck together.
Yes, that's why. 23rd of April.
Today was the day their Mum invited me round for not a picnic, but tea at her house, or her flat, a new flat. So I went round to Mum's for tea. We had beef burgers, waffles, fried spam, chips, Coca-Cola beverages, jam, jelly for pudding, and hundreds and thousands just out of a jar, eaten with a spoon. Lovely, proper food, not like what Cecil's been cooking me, i.e. regimentals. So many Fun Factory colas aplenty. What a treat it was for me. Of course, Dad didn't come, because, you know, me and my mum are getting divorced, aren't they? Why would they reconcile? Never going to happen, is it? Except it does. Oh, but Mum's flat is upstairs in a flat, block of flats. So many stairs, I'd have several sit-downs. But while I was having a sit-down on the second floor, a lovely young lady came out of her flat, and she saw me and asked if I was all right. I wasn't all right. I felt like I was dying, but because I was so exhausted and just run down, I could talk to her. I didn't get embarrassed like what I normally would. She asked if I needed a drink of water, which I obviously did. Getting me a bit emotional thinking about it. But we held a conversation. Talked about water, my favourite kind of cup that I like, glass. I like a glass one. We've got some Coca-Cola ones that we got from McDonald's. They're beautiful. she asked what kind of drinks I liked, and I said I like Coca-Cola beverages, please. But she didn't have any Coca-Cola beverages. She just had some lemonade. I said, no, that's too fruity for a guy like me. In the end, we got round to talking about music. Turns out she's having a keyboard amp delivered tomorrow at 9:30, and she asked if I could come round and help her get it up to her flat because there's no lift or anything. And she is quite a weak and feeble woman by the looks of her. So do you know what I bloody said? I said, yeah, sure, yeah, love to, thanks. Because I was feeling a bit better but still a bit exhausted. Then we parted company. Oh, bloody hell. That's a date, isn't it? Got a date with a beautiful young woman. Very early in the morning, mind you, 9:30. Oof. I absolutely hate getting up in the morning, but I think for this, I will do. You never know, she might invite me in for coffee after I've taken the amp up, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean. If you know what I mean.
24th of April.
Well, I had to get up at about 8-ish this morning, but as I didn't get to sleep till about 4 o'clock in the morning because I was so nervous. So, I was awake at 8, but did I actually make it to the date at 9:30? Yeah, I did actually. What I did to prepare was I thought, right, I'm going to get myself proper now. So what I did was, at 7 o'clock, put on my red t-shirt, so she might go, oh, look at that, that guy strikes a, cuts a jib, cuts a cool, melancholy appearance. Because I say it's a red t-shirt, but it's very faded, it's almost pink salmon. So that was at 7 o'clock, and then by 8:30 I decided I'll get the rest of me dressed, so about, I got, getting excited even just remembering. At 8:30 I put my boxer shorts on, my ones with the characters from Ever Decreasing Circles on, lovely stuff. Then 8:35, put my jeans on, my legs, the colour, faded blue. Then on my leg ends, on my feet, I put my socks on, the colour, off-white. Then on my feet zones, I put my shoes on, my black plimp soles, because I thought I might need to do some exercises running up and down stairs or something. And then my head, no, I didn't put on one of Cecil's toupees, I put on my beret. I thought it would make me look Belgian and a bit interesting, because she likes obviously playing keyboard. I thought maybe she's into jazz and I could read some aggressive poetry at her. Don't know. 8:35, I had a power breakfast, which was just a pack of waffles, the sweet kind, not the potato kind, and two bottles of Fun Factory Cola flavoured drink. Then at 8:34, I set off. I got there just as the amp was coming out of the van. It was absolutely massive, about 3 foot by 3 foot, but that's not as impressive as there she was, a vision of beauty in a bright pink shell suit, a headband and leg warmers. She'd just been to jazzercise. I say jazzercise, she's got a Fame VHS tape that she does works out to, but she doesn't do it to the music, she puts on jazz. So, you know, in a way it is jazz, isn't it? And it took us both about an hour to get it all the way up to our flat on the second floor. And she thought she'd test it while I was there, so she plugged in a PSS 680 Yamaha Porter sound and played me a song, a lovely song about slimming products. You know, she doesn't need slimming products, so she's very svelte. She sang me a song about Yakult, not Yakult, Shape. Remember Shape yogurts? And I think she sang a verse about panty liners, but I don't know. Something about body form, I'm not sure. In the end, I left after not arranging to meet her again or even getting a phone number. But given she lives in the same building as my mummy, I think I'm probably going to bump into her again. I'm not going to stalk her. Oh, got erection. 25th of April. I spent the day thinking of reasons to go see Mummy, but I couldn't think of anything. And for some reason I had the song Down, Down, Deeper and Down by The Status Quo stuck in my head. I don't know why.
26th of April.
I spent the day trying to impress him. Perfect my impression of David Hasselhoff, you know, from Knight Rider. Because I think that he's quite a man that women like and they want to be with. He certainly did on Baywatch. Oh, I'm just trying to think of ways to ingratiate myself with that lovely young lady. Realised I don't know her name, and that all adds to the mystery of her, doesn't it? She lives in flat 2B on my mummy's flat block building thingy, you know, where my mum's flat is. I think that's what I'm going to call her. I'm just going to refer to her as 2B, just because that's the name of a house and I don't know her name. How would I even find out? Don't know. 27th of April. Cecil was still feeling low as he realised Mum is never ever coming back to him. His David Dickinson phase is long gone. He scrubbed off the wood stainer from his face and he's got back to a nice pink, pale elderly man's face, wrinkly though it may be. Cecil's been writing a very miserable self-pitying song called Cooking for One.
Do you want me to sing it for you, Paul? My wife's left me. We've been wed 38 years. Now she's gone, but not forgotten. Her buns I still have in my memory. I'm cooking for one.
What are you doing?
I'm cooking for one.
Stop it, Cecil, please.
Oh, it's just no fun.
No, please stop it, Cecil.
Cooking for one.
It's too high for you, Cecil. He cooked to chop.
Yes, that was a flop.
He baked a cake.
That was a mistake.
He fried a leek.
I was sick for a week.
He made a cup of tea.
Cooking's just not for me. I don't want to do this anymore, Paul.
Didn't make you do it in the first place. I wanted you to stop, but you didn't.
Right. 28th of April.
Well, we had a great idea, or so we thought, for the radio station. Me and Cecil are writing two different tracks for the lyrics for the song Cooking for One. Then the listeners get to vote on who's written the best music. I.e. we write to burp pen. Don't love the burps. Fine.
Come on, Paul, what are you doing?
Sorry. Me and Cecil are writing two different music tracks and then we both sing the lyrics over the music to Cecil's Cooking for One song and then get the radio listeners to vote on who is the best music writers. And then when it's me, I can rub it in Cecil's wrinkly old face. Yes.
Oh, pathetic. Because that's all she wrote, as we'll say.
Do say that, don't we, Cecil?
Yes, we do, and I don't know why, because you're not a she.
Oh, it makes me sound very camp, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, it does. You're right, Paul.
Not really. Those who listened to last week's podcast will be aware of our millennial poltergeist that we've got. It keeps coming in and obviously, like we said last week, checking its Instagram feed on my phone and opening up web browser pages to Facebook, and it's trying to do Twitters, but it don't know how to do it. It can't use the keyboard because obviously it's a ghost. It doesn't have power for very long. And then it gets very offended if you say anything politically incorrect. Don't it, Cecil?
Yes, it does.
Why does it do that, though?
Because that's what the millennials do, Paul. They're triggered by everything.
True.
Is that the reason why we've got all these Starbucks coffee cups appearing all over the house?
Yeah, it loves its filter coffee, Cecil. It's deeply into it.
Yes, there isn't even a Starbucks within 40 miles of our house, is there, Paul?
No, I don't know where it's getting them from. It must be transubstantiation or something. I don't know.
Yes, it's bizarre.
I don't know why some of the cups have got Clive written on them and some of the cups have got Margaret written on them, Cecil.
That must be what the poltergeist is called.
Maybe, Cecil.
Yes. How long we got? We've only done bloody 15 minutes. That's not good enough, Paul. 22 minutes is a cut off.
Is it though, Cecil? Does anybody really care?
I don't know.
I don't think they do, Cecil. Should we just have a short podcast this week? Because I need to go do a... have a drink. I'm very phlegmy. I've got a sore throat. And I might need to do a wee-wee.
Oh. All right, then. That's all for now, listeners.
I think we're putting episode 2, episode 5 of Radio Thax Series 1 on anyway, aren't we, Cecil?
Oh, we are. That's all right, then. Enjoy that, ladies and gentlemen. Toodle pips.
Now, toodle pips to you.
Steady.
There's the Pussington, Cecil. What's it doing at me?
It's not doing anything at you. It's just walking near your...
Stop it.
It wants to get out of the window.
Stop being so posh, Cecil. It can't get out of the window. The window's painted shut. You stupid feline. Stupid, if it was scared, made it jump its bum.
I mean, just careful.
Well, sorry, Cecil.
Yes, you did. Yes.
He's trying to walk on the keyboard now. Oh, he's got such a fluffy body. Did you know I was doing this? Have you come to disrupt it?
Yes.
Now he's pouring a USB cable.
Well,
this is not the working conditions I require, Cecil, when I'm doing this podcast.
Thing. Ignore it!
Don't chew it.
Not chew it. Just ignore it, Paul. It'll go away if you ignore it.
Right. What are we doing, Cecil? Get off.
Podcast reading. Right. If you remember last week, Paul suggested that me and him do different music for my song, Cooking for One. It was one of my all-time hit singles. Paul, what happened, please?
Cecil, you're getting very forgetful. What happened was I met 2B in Mum's flat. A woman lived in flat 2B. Couldn't remember her name, so I just called her 2B. To be or not to be, that's the question. And I think we'll find out in the future. Faith in the future. So, Cecil, if you'd just like to say the date, and then I'll begin this week's podcast reading. Thanks.
Yes, but you've got to do the thing. That bit's the first reading.
Right, yes. As Cecil said, that on the 28th of April, which is the day before this podcast, I put a challenge to Cecil that me and him both do the music for his Cooking for One lyrics, and then we get the radio listeners to decide who did the best music, Cecil or me. And then I will announce the winner on the 29th of April, so Cecil.
29th of April!
It's the 29th of April today. The results are in, and Cecil bloody well won. His poor biddy voice got the sympathetic vote of the listeners, I bet. Is a bastard.
30th of April.
Today I went round to Mum to... see Mum, rather, to borrow a cup of Coca-Cola beverage. But Mummy wasn't in. But the lovely 2B lady was. How do I know she was in? When I saw her through a keyhole. I saw that she was coming towards the door, so I panicked and just knocked on the door. Because I knew she was coming out the door and I knew she was going to spot me. There's no way I could have run away in time. So I just had to pretend I'd come to visit her. And I asked her if I could borrow a cup of cola beverage from her. And she said, she just laughed at me and said that was a great funny joke because that stuff rots your teeth. Was that? I just laughed because I assumed she was joking. She's got a great sense of humour. She invited me into her flat. And we talked for about 18 minutes, mostly about music, mostly. I still don't know what her name is, and I don't think she actually knows mine. But my goodness, things are certainly hotting up at the...
1st of May!
Today I did a radio show on ships that pass in the night. I got 18 complaints. Because we aired it at 4:30, way before the watershed. What is a watershed anyway? Why would you keep water in a shed? Or a closet? Why do they have water closets? Don't know. Stupid. I can't imagine there'd be watertight. I've never seen a shed that's watertight. too many spiders in. If only I could make a shed that was spider tight, that would be something that would be I might like to spend time in. Otherwise, you won't find me within 30 foot of a bloody shed. It's the spider's dominion and I keep her well away from it. 2nd of May! I poked myself in the eye with a guitar string today. I had to go to hospital. I've got an eye patch on. Just for the record, it was the B guitar string, not the G guitar string or the G string, which is the most sexual of all the guitar strings I always find. 3rd of May! I went round to see Mum today and she was in and I had to talk to her. It's quite disappointing. Apparently she's going on a single woman's holiday in June. July, sorry. To sunny Spain. I think. I don't know. I wasn't really listening. I left shortly after she was showing off pictures of the bikini she was wearing. It was just the clothes. There was no woman in the bikini. Certainly not mother in the bikini. It made me feel a little bit queasy imagining her and Auntie Beryl going off on a sexy holiday looking for love in Latin lands. No, I don't want that. So I left. I knocked on 2B's door, but she didn't answer it and I couldn't see her through a keyhole. 4th of May. Tony came round today and took the piss out of my eye patch. I don't mean I'd got some wee in my eye patch. I mean he was jocular about me having to wear an eye bandage. I slapped him, because Cecil had been taking the mick out of me all morning. My rage just sort of built up, and I lashed out. I lashed out at Tony's face, and he walked off in a huff. Sorry, Tony, but you pushed me just that bit too far. Just that bit too far. 5th of May. Toby Wilde, the midget, showed his face for a practice session today. He didn't know that Mum had pretended that he and her were having an affair, and was shocked when Cecil, who didn't know that Mum was joking, Cecil did an outburst at him and got angry at him. But then I sat them both down I explained to them what had happened, because Mum had told me to tell them that she was making it up, but I forgot or couldn't be bothered, not sure which. So I explained it to them both and they shook hands and made up. I say shook hands. Toby Wilde put his hand in as if to shake hands, and Cecil sort of mimed it, but because he's so scared of Toby Wilde being a midget and having really very stumpy little fingers, Dad didn't touch him in case he touches him and he gets repulsed. They just sort of shook hands in midair, and Cecil was a little bit sick in his throat because I kept saying, I bet he's touched his own penis with that hand, Cecil. And Cecil just sort of gagged a little bit, but not in a aroused way, just sort of a, oh, that's horrible. I'm Cecil. I said, it's all right, just go and try and touch him, Cecil, it's fine. So Dad went to hug Toby Wilde, but Toby Wilde was pulling away because he thought Cecil was frightened of him. So Cecil fell over, because he'd been on his knees to look Toby Wilde in the eyes, and he tippled over and went flat on his face. How we laughed, and how Cecil bled, mostly from the nose.